Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read just the first portion of our gospel lesson again from Matthew chapter 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us. By your truth, your word is truth. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. So this is the last season, the last Sunday of the church year, in which we are reminded to always be on the alert for the coming of Christ, because you don't know either the day or the hour. And to encourage us in this alertness or watchfulness, Jesus gives us the parable of the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins represent the church on earth, those who call themselves Christians on earth. 5 end up being wise and 5 end up being foolish. And the difference is quite simple. The wise have sufficient oil to keep their lamps burning, and the foolish do not have enough oil. One application of this is also quite simple. The wise virgins represent those Christians in the Christian church here on earth who make sure that they continue to receive grace and forgiveness so faith in Christ would not be lost. The foolish virgins are those who do not continue to seek God's grace and forgiveness found in Christ, the result being that they do not continue in the true faith in Christ and don't have it when he finally comes. And so because of that, when the bridegroom comes, we read, the foolish ones said to the wise ones, give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. The wise ones answered, no, there won't be enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. In other words, the wise ones were saying, we can't do this for you. The forgiveness that we receive is the forgiveness you need. The forgiveness we receive is what you need, but we can't receive it for you. You have to receive it yourself. Our faith in Jesus is our faith in Jesus. It doesn't count as your faith. We cannot believe for you. You have to have your own faith in Jesus. And if you don't, you will be shut out of the kingdom of heaven. And so it is, in one sense, that simple. There is a simplicity to it. But there's also something beyond that simplicity. And that is because the words wise and foolish, or wisdom and foolishness, are terms packed with meaning in the Bible. So here's just a basic understanding of both those words. Wisdom is that which leads you to grace, forgiveness, leads you to Christ, leads you to faith in Christ, and preserves you in that faith. Foolishness is anything that leads you away from grace, away from forgiveness, away from Christ, away from faith in Christ. And let me repeat that to make sure you follow that. Wisdom is that which leads you to grace and forgiveness and Christ and faith in Christ and preservation in that faith. And foolishness is anything that leads you away from grace and forgiveness and Christ and faith in Christ. Now, with those understandings in mind, I want to lay before you several aspects of biblical wisdom. Number one, we're told in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But you cannot fear the Lord unless you know who he is and who you are. And you cannot know who he is and who you are unless he communicates to you. And that means you need to know how God communicates to you. And that brings to the second aspect of wisdom. The answer is God communicates to us through his word. As St. Paul wrote, "You have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness." So scripture is how he communicates with us. It tells us who he is and who we are, so we can fear him. It tells you that he is the creator and you are a creature, a very special one, but nevertheless a creature. It tells you that he is infinite and you are finite. It tells you that he is almighty and all-knowing and holy and just, and that you are completely sinful and completely unable to do anything about it. And his word tells you, above all, that he is merciful and has sent his son for your salvation, and that you have that salvation through faith in his son. So this is why we fear him. This is the beginning of wisdom, communicated to us through his word. Here's another thing, a very important thing about wisdom. Number three. This wisdom is Jesus Christ himself. Paul says to us, "Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. It is from God that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." And one of the verse 2 that makes it clear from Colossians, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So Christ crucified for you, risen from the dead for you, is your wisdom. And where you find this Christ, there you find wisdom. The fourth point about wisdom from Scripture. This wisdom also displays itself in how you live, in how you speak, and how you think, and what you believe. Paul said, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." And then in the book of Acts, we're given an example of how wisdom can be used in speaking. We read there, "But the Jews could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen the martyr was speaking." And then there's this passage from James that talks about how wisdom displays itself in our lives. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So we have these several points regarding wisdom in Scripture. And the good news is that you can grow in this wisdom. And God is very anxious to give you this wisdom. We read in James again, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Or Paul said in Colossians, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom. So, wisdom begins with fearing the Almighty, just, holy, and merciful Creator, who sent his only Son for you, for your forgiveness and salvation. Sacred Scriptures give this wisdom to you. Christ himself is that wisdom. And then this wisdom is manifested in how you think and speak and act. And you can grow in this wisdom. But this wisdom can also be lost by the Christian, so that he is no longer wise but foolish. Going back to that passage from Colossians 2, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one will deceive you with arguments that sound reasonable. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than on Christ. One of the essential points that Jesus makes in this parable, the 10 virgins, is to remind us and warn us that Christians can start out as wise, but they can end up being foolish virgins and shut out from the wedding banquet, from the kingdom of heaven. And so biblical wisdom can be ignored or spurned when a Christian puts aside the fear of the Lord by not acknowledging who God is and who we are, poor sinful creatures. When a Christian does not pay close attention to the Word of God and all that it teaches, keeping in mind that through the Word we receive wisdom. When a Christian does not seek Christ, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God, and is coming again in all his glory to judge the living and the dead, this Christ, who we are told by Paul, is our wisdom, is our redemption, righteousness, and sanctification. When a Christian does not understand or care that this wisdom is to display itself in how we live and we act and speak, it is to display itself in our day-to-day life, in our worldview. If those sorts of things happen, then a Christian can go from wise to foolish with the greatest of consequences. Just to give one example, I sometimes say that the Christian religion that is a part of our life, that is our essential part of our life, it's like putting on a pair of glasses, taking Christianity, taking Scripture, taking this wisdom and wearing them as a pair of glasses and seeing all of life through these glasses, wearing the Christian worldview as glasses. These days we hear quite a bit about oppression, about oppressors and those who are oppressed, and you know, this is really a biblical concept, but sometimes these terms are hijacked by other religions or worldviews or philosophies. It was hijacked, for example, by communism or Marxism, which said the oppressors are the bourgeoisie and the oppressed were the proletariat, the poorer people. In our day and age, very often the oppressors are said to be those of a certain gender, males, or certain skin color, or oppressors are those who believe that the LGBTQ is sinful. We're sometimes called oppressors because of that. But we have to ask the question, who's defining these words, these concepts? And as Christians, we always have to wear these biblical glasses and let Scripture define such terms for us. And then to take those glasses with us outside the door and view all of society and culture with these glasses on so we rightly understand what's going on in culture and don't get sucked into some philosophy or worldview that is in conflict with our Christian understanding, with Christian wisdom. But today, brothers and sisters, you are here. You are here at this service, and in this liturgy, we have put before us who God truly is and who we truly are. We have the Word of God here, hopefully always taught in its truth and purity. Grace is here. Forgiveness is here, free and complete. Christ is here. And you are here. And if you believe, you are among the wise virgins. And you, when you walk out these doors today, you are to continue to believe. You are to continue in daily repentance. You are to treasure and pay attention to and abide by his word through which we are given wisdom. You are to be vigilant and discerning. And you are to call upon God and pray to him. And then you will continue to be among the wise. You are among those who are watchful and alert. So when Jesus Christ comes in all his glory, you can stand and lift up your heads and rejoice and enter that great wedding banquet, the kingdom of heaven. Again, going back to our Old Testament lesson. For I will create new heavens and a new earth. The past events will not be remembered or come to mind. Then be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I will create Jerusalem to be a joy and its people to be a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will no longer be heard in her. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.